Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The relationship between the Father and the Son is crucial to understanding Christianity. Jesus died as a sacrifice to avert the Father's wrath on us guilty sinners. That is an expression of love that can never be fully understood. Today, more on that love. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the mysteries of God. Now, join us for more of our look at the triunity of God.
Now, the point is this. In pagan religions, and I may mention this again, in pagan religions, what you have is, and Christianity is sometimes criticized, oh yeah, look at this religion. They offered sacrifices. You know, the sacrifices of blood are found in all religions, and Christianity is just the same. No, it's not. In all the other religions, what you have is people bringing sacrifices. In Christianity, God becomes the sacrifice. Wow. And God demands a payment for sin, and he supplies what he demands so that redemption is of God. You can't find that in any other religion. Now, if you believe in a one-person God, such as Islam, God might let bygones be bygones and forgive you, but he has no just basis upon which to do so except to let bygones be bygones, and more likely, he's going to ask you to suffer for your own sin and make your own payment. So in redemption, we have a redeeming God that you need a Trinity for. No other God can be a redeeming God without the Trinity. Now, how do we bring this down so that our lives are changed and we understand the profound implications? First of all, I've emphasized this, God has always been a father. He's always been a father. Since the beginning of time, he loved the Son. He's always been a father. The distinctive mark of Christianity is that God is the Father. Now, there is a book written by a woman whose name I'm probably going to mispronounce, but it's Bilquis Sheka. It's the best I can do. She wrote a book entitled, I Dared Call Him Father. She was in a deeply Muslim family in Pakistan. Somebody gave her a Bible and she began to read the Bible and suddenly the whole idea of love began to grip her. And she says in her book, and the book is entitled, as I mentioned, I Dared Call Him Father, that it is when she called God Father, she knew that she was no longer praying to Allah. Because in Islam, it would be a great mistake to call God Father. But the distinguishing mark of Christianity is God is Father. Jesus said, in this way, pray, our Father who art in heaven. And it's mentioned also in the Old Testament that God is Father because God's primary identity is love. I remember praying with a woman years ago who used to come to me. She struggled deeply with alcoholism, and she'd go a couple of weeks, and then she'd fall again and feel so terrible over what she did. So she'd say, Pastor, pray with me. Here's an interesting thing. She was a believer in Jesus Christ, no doubt about it. But I always smiled within my heart with great joy because every time she began to pray, this was her opening line. Father, you know that I love you, and I want you to forgive me for what you've done. Now, who told her to pray that way? Did I tell her, hey, now when you pray, your opening line is, Father, I love you? Of course not. I didn't have to. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God is given to us, And we learn a lot of things by that Spirit. But the Holy Spirit of God is given to us by which we call and we say, Abba, Father. Abba being a term of endearment for God. Some people say it's something like Daddy. Abba, Father. Where does that come from? It is birthed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And if you're here today and you just pray to God, and you don't pray to God as your Father, almost certainly, you are not a Christian, you are not redeemed. Now, how do people who believe that God is their Father, how do they handle the adversities of life? Shouldn't a father bail them out whenever he can? Well, the Father loves us more than our earthly fathers, but he does have a different agenda. But let me give you an example of what they do. Carolina Sandell Berg. She was a woman who lived in Sweden, and she was on a boat with her father, and the boat lurched. I think that this was probably the 1700s or 1800s, so they didn't have a way in which to rescue him. So there she is. She's watching her father drown. How does a Christian process this business of being a child of God and tragedy comes? Well, she wrote the words of a hymn, which Rebecca and I heard this past week because we attended a funeral. Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in his bosom gather. Nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given. Neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord his children sever. Unto them his grace he showeth, and their sorrows all he knoweth. Though he giveth or he taketh, God his children ne'er forsaketh. His the loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy. Christians trust the Father to the very end, because they know that this isn't the only life, and he'll be our Father throughout eternity. So the first thing we learn is that God always has been a loving Father. And that's why when we were singing, you know, the love of God, I thought, you know, could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a tribe by trade. I didn't know that I could quote that. I was a little nervous getting into it. I might have to add some extra words to have it come out right. Second lesson that we can learn is that the only way to the Father is through the Son. The only way to the Father is through the Son. And this makes sense. He is the beloved Son in whom the Father is well pleased. He did the will of the Father. He came to redeem humanity. No prophet has ever done that. No teacher has ever done that. No guru is able to do that. There is only one person qualified to do that, to redeem us, and that's Jesus. And it's only Jesus that gets us to God the Father. Do I have an amen here today? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And by the way, since we have some Germans here today, I've never done this in the 36 years that I've been here at the Moody Church, but for them, I'm going to quote that verse in German. Ich bin der Weg und die Wahrheit und das Leben. Niemand kommt zum Vater denn durch mich. Did I do okay back there? I know three verses in German, and I've just shared one of them. So if you're listening to this today and you are investigating Christianity, understand more about Jesus, understand his beauty, understand who he is and what he did. You say, well, you know, that's a very narrow view that you only get to God through Jesus. Of course it's narrow, but it's open to everyone. Doesn't matter what religion you belong to, doesn't matter what spectrum you are on in terms of your past life, it is open to everyone. So while it is narrow for a good reason, but it is open to all who humble themselves and receive him. And by the way, what does the text say? John 1:12. For as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Amazing promise. Third, it's very important to realize that those who believe in the Son, those who believe in the Son, are invited to participate in the relationship of the Trinity. They are invited to participate and enjoy the relationship of the Trinity. And now at last we do come to John 17. Now this is the prayer of Jesus to the Father. And he is praying to the Father. And it opens the door to an understanding of the Trinity, the likes of which is just incredible. No wonder John 17 is one of the favorite chapters of many Christians. You have many favorite chapters, but this certainly is one of them. Notice what Jesus says in chapter 17, verse 20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be made one in us, that the world may know and believe that you've sent me. Jesus is saying the relationship that exists between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and they never have an argument, is the relationship that should exist among us as believers. Well, if you know anything about living with believers, you know that we're a long way from that, but that's the ideal. That's why racism is such a sin, is because of the unity into which Jesus Christ brings us, is a unity of fellowship, is a unity of oneness, and such distinctions are sinful. Well, you know, to live above with the saints I love, oh, that'll be glory. But to live below with the saints I know, that's another story, right? But that's the ideal. So he prays that we may be one, and then this blows you away, but this is in God's word, verse 22. The glory that you've given me, I've given to them. And we say, wait a moment, the Old Testament says that God says, I will not share my glory with another. Well, look at the text. Always keep your finger on the text. The Father gives the Son glory. But it is now the Son's prerogative to give that glory to us. I'm just reading the text. The glory that you have given them, given me, I'm giving to them. So, you deserve that? I don't. Can't speak on your behalf, but I think your wife would be glad to. The glory that you've given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me. The world should look at us and say, why do those folks love each other so much? And why do they love beyond the church and love others? That's what the world should be saying. Unfortunately, that's not often, or at least not all the time, the world sees that. But that's the prayer of Jesus. And then you get to love. I'm in the last part of verse 23. You have loved them even as you have loved me. Really? The Son is the beloved Son in whom the Father is well pleased and has been well pleased with him from out of all of eternity. And Jesus said, the same love, actually, you love them the same way. You say, oh, I sure don't feel that love. Your feelings are lying to you if you're a believer. That means, and then if you wonder, well, how did the Father love the Son? Well, now I'm in verse 24. You have loved me from before the foundation of the world. So how long ago did God love you, dear believer? From before the foundation of the world. If you've been following this series of messages, you know that when I spoke on the decrees of God last time, you were in God's mind for as long as God existed. And what this means is God doesn't play games with us and say, well, you know, I love him today because he had a warm time in his devotions, but, you know, he didn't, and now I don't love him so much because look at sin in his life, and my love, you know, kind of depends on his response. No, the love depends on the fact that Jesus paid it all. We are seen as being in him, And therefore he can say, I loved you from before the foundation of the world. All of that. You know, the Bible says that we inherit all things. Jesus inherits all things. All right, that's a pretty good inheritance, wouldn't you say, Larry? To inherit all things? Beautiful, we could sign up for that. Romans chapter 8. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? If Jesus died for you to redeem you, why is he going to withhold anything else in eternity to come? Fact is, he won't. And so you and I get to enjoy the relationship of the Trinity. And of course, we enjoy it so imperfectly now. But the day is coming when we will understand that this prayer will be fully and totally answered. You'll notice what Jesus ends by praying. He says, O righteous Father, in verse 25, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I've made known to them your name and will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. The passage actually I wanted to emphasize is where Jesus said here, I desire that they be with me. It's verse 24. That they whom you have given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold your glory. Heaven isn't the golden streets. It isn't the magnificent stream where God is going to have his throne. It isn't even so much us meeting each other up there, though the Bible invites us to be excited about the fact that we're going to be reunited with those who have gone before. Ultimately, heaven is that we are with him and with him through all eternity. Amen. I heard hallelujah out there. Could we give God a hand, please? Paul Gibson was, I think, the president of Cambridge at one time, and they commissioned that a picture, a painting of him be made. And when it was unveiled, he said something that was a tremendous compliment to the artist. He said, when people look at this painting, they aren't going to ask the question, who is it that is painted? They're going to look at that and they're going to say, who was that painter? Throughout all of eternity, the angels in heaven and anyone else who happens to be looking on is not going to say, wow, who are those redeemed people? No. They are going to say, who is their redeemer? That they should be so exalted. And so if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, if you don't call God Father, come to him through Jesus. Admit your sinfulness. And the Spirit of God within you will bubble up, as it were, figuratively speaking. And you'll call him Father. What a blessed thing to call our God. Well, I don't think I can do any better in this message, which I'm going to end in a moment by quoting 2 Corinthians chapter, I'm seeing it in my mind's eye now, chapter 13, verse 14. People ask, do you have a photographic memory? I must, because it's always working in the dark. But I'm seeing it now in my Bible. It says this, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. What a blessed way to end a letter. The Trinity right there. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. May it be with you. Let's pray. Now, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would enliven our worship. Help us to know that you are entirely worthy of all of our worship. And for those who have never believed on Jesus, we pray, Lord, that they might. May they see him May they see him as the way to the Father, the only way to the Father. We thank you that he has loved us from all of eternity, and we thank you that we shall someday see the fulfillment of his prayers, that we shall be with him where he is forever. We ask now, Lord, that there may be those who are believing on Christ right now, reaching out and saying, I can't call God Father, but I want to. I will dare to call him my Father because I've received his Son. We can't do that, Lord. That's up to your Spirit and the work that you do in people's hearts. For those whose hearts are prompted, cause them to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, today this is Pastor Lutzer, and I have to ask myself the question, is there anything more that I could have said that would lead people to saving faith in Jesus Christ? If you've heard this message and you've never believed on Christ and you cannot call God Father legitimately, by that I mean you don't have that sense within you, the ministry of the Spirit that leads you to say, God, you are my Father, would you come to Christ? Would you believe on him? I don't know, you may be driving along the road, you may be sitting in an office, you may be in your home, people listen in so many different ways. But at the end of the day, what you need to do is to understand that the Holy Spirit of God leads people to saving faith in Christ. I urge you to respond to that message, and it would be such a blessing if you were to connect with us. Go to moodymedia.org, that's moodymedia.org, and press the contact button, and let us know if you've believed on Jesus, if our program is a blessing to you, because we exist to bring about the transformation of lives through the ministry of the Word of God. And I also want to thank the many of you who support this broadcast. You know that it is because of your faithfulness that we are able to continue in so many different parts of the United States and other parts of the world. From the bottom of my heart, I want you to understand that you have an investment in this ministry as you continue to support us with your gifts and with your prayers. Whenever I hear someone say that they are praying for me, my heart melts with a great sense of humility, thanking God for those people who are willing to support other ministries and to bless his holy name together. So go to moodymedia.org. When we study God, we are talking about the most lofty, deep subject imaginable. Spurgeon said that we cannot plumb its depths, our eagle eyes cannot see its heights. We are awestruck in the presence of God.
Erwin Lutzer is doing his best to plumb those depths in a series on the mysteries of God. 8 sermons on many hard-to-understand aspects of the Almighty.
You know, the reason I'm preaching this series on the mysteries of God is so that first, that we might be appropriately humbled and worship God with more enthusiasm and more joy. The other reason is that we might seek him, and the way in which we seek him is through the Scriptures.
In those scriptures, we'll find clarity on tough issues like the justice of God, what will heaven be like, and much more.
After all, the Bible says very clearly that the people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Jesus said, "This is life eternal, that you might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent."
The Mysteries of God is a series of 8 talks by Dr. Lutzer, probing things we cannot fully comprehend but want to understand. This CD set can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support the outreach of Running to Win. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. The death of Jesus on a Roman cross is the turning point of history. When Jesus paid the price for our sins, a great mystery was laid bare. Next time on Running to Win, join us for The Death of God. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.